Hello and welcome to Movie Day, the podcast show from the RPG Academy, where we talk about an RPG-ish related movie. Today we're going to try something a little bit different. We're actually going to watch the movie in real time as we talk about it. The movie is Big Trouble in Little China, one of my all-time favorites. Watched it a lot as a child. Had not watched it again until very recently. Totally holds up in my opinion. I absolutely love it. All right, if you want to play along, you can start your movie now. So we start with our 20th Century Fox logo. So that's the dude who's in like every movie, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
He's also in Big Trouble in Little China, the I want the knife guy.
I love when movies start with the after the movie scene and everything is technically a flashback. That's one of my favorite storytelling tropes.
I have used it a few times in my games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this dude who's talking, is he from the X-Files? Like, he sounds like...
Yeah.
Is that the cigarette-smoking man?
No, he is not the cigarette-smoking man. But he...
Was he X?
Yes. Yeah. He was Deep Throat.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. It's like, I recognize that voice.
Now, what I still have yet to understand about Big Trouble in Little China is the setup of this first scene. Because there's no context in the rest of the movie that someone got arrested or called into the FBI. Nothing. There's nothing to indicate why this part of the story is happening. I accept it. I have no problem with it, but there's just no context.
That's true. I mean, because later in the movie, which is then previous to this, which, I mean, there were like two rival gangs just outright murdering each other in the streets. So it's possible that the cops were involved at some point.
I mean, the cops did show up at the very end. Spoilers. Sorry, guys. But nowhere before that. Nowhere before that is there any police involvement, except for Jack constantly saying, I want to call the police. And everyone else saying, no, you're not allowed to.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, he's like, basically, leave Jack Burton alone. Jack doesn't do a whole lot in the movie. All right, here we go. We have our first sorcery.
Oh, here we go. Ready? Lightning! And the FBI dude is just like, oh, okay, lightning. You'd think he would have reacted a little bit differently.
There we go. The main character in the movie, the Pork Chop Express.
Classic 80s riff pounding through the airwaves.
Kurt Russell as his moats, Kurt Russellers. It's directed by John Carpenter. John Carpenter wrote this movie, or directed this movie. I think he wrote it too. So I love the fact that he's wearing his sunglasses at night while he's driving in the rain talking on the CB. He's not even looking at the road.
No, not at all.
So in one hand he had the CB, in the other hand he has a sandwich.
How is he driving? I love the character because he's basically just saying, I'm just going to sit here talking because everyone should listen to me. He's not talking to anyone specific on the CB. He's literally just broadcasting into the world as he's driving his semi through the rain, irresponsibly eating a sandwich.
Yes.
And that looks like a good sandwich, too. I'm not going to lie.
It does.
I would eat that sandwich. So he's coming into San Francisco, crossing the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's how we know where we're at. That's the establishing shot.
Yep. And now it's fucking pitch black. He's still wearing his goddamn sunglasses.
I think, did he take them off? It's hard. There's so much rain in the windshield, I can't see.
He just took them
off. Yeah, he took them off, yeah.
Yeah, why aren't his there's his windshield wipers. Okay. And he's driving into Chinatown. So we have a lot of establishing shots of Chinese people in the rain, selling things, laughing. And here comes the Pork Chop Express. I love Jack Burton as a character because he just doesn't care. He's so just... He doesn't care about anything except what he cares about, right? Which is the truck.
Yeah, so it looks like Jack was, what, hauling pigs there? Like, I guess it is the Pork Chop Express. It would make a lot of sense if he's hauling pigs to a Chinese restaurant place, wouldn't it?
You know, honestly, as many times as I have seen this, I never noticed that or cared about it. I just thought he was driving into Chinatown for no reason. And now he's buying some stuff from a little noodle cart.
Yeah, I think my movie might be a couple seconds ahead of you, so I'm going to pause for two and start back. Because I already got him gambling now.
Yeah, he's they're slapping money down on the table right now.
Yeah, so it was funny as I said at the beginning, Egg Shen is like saying how great Jack Burton was. And in my viewpoint, I don't know that Jack has really did a whole lot. So I was just doing some quick research. And actually, that was one of the things that the studio made them change because they felt that Jack wasn't a hero. So they had him go in and write that scene at the beginning where he said, no, Jack is a big hero. That's the only reason why it's there.
Okay. All right. I mean, from a story standpoint, Jack is the sidekick. He is not the main character.
Yeah, he doesn't know what's happening.
Very clearly, other people are the main characters and the heroes. And we see one of them on screen right now. That was, that's Wang, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, what we also have to notice here is that Jack has been driving his truck into San Francisco at night. Now it's day. So he was up all night drinking and gambling in Chinatown. Let's address that as well. And he and Wang are right now arguing over, what, $1,400?
Yeah, roughly. And so Wang is going to say that he can cut a bottle in half with this, like, machete-looking thing. And so they're going to double or nothing over whether or not he can do that.
I love all of Jack's bravado going into this scene. And as soon as Wang gets kind of angry, Jack almost immediately backs down. I was like, no, I don't want to fight. We're just gambling. It's okay.
But I feel like this is like the second movie in a trilogy because there's clearly so much history between Jack and all these characters that is just taken as read, even though we've never seen these characters before.
Very importantly, Jack just switched the beer bottles because he thought Wang might have fixed it in some way. Oh, wait. This is really important. Wait.
This is very, very important.
Wait. Catch the bottle.
It's all in the reflexes.
It's all in the reflexes.
But the way that he was trying to cut that bottle wasn't going to work no matter what happened.
No, he just would have...
His angle was terrible.
He just would have smashed it. Even if he had broken it, it just would have been smashed glass everywhere.
Yeah, but he sort of insinuates that he's done this before. Like, there's talk about, like, his mind and body and spirit being in the right place, and that in the past he'd been able to do that at home. Which, again, is because this is the second movie in a trilogy that we've never seen, because there's so much story that everyone else knows that the audience doesn't. Mm-hmm.
This is also where we establish that Wang has a restaurant and he has the money, just not with him. So we've got that great discussion.
But Jack doesn't trust him, of course.
Of course not. And
I love those giant glasses and that Harley Davidson hat wore on the top of his head.
And the fact that he's wearing one of those weird knit pullover hoodies under a jacket.
Oh, now we get the establishing that she is a green-eyed Chinese woman.
And that Jack is a horrible womanizer.
Yes.
Again, to be expected from Kurt Russell being the most Kurt Russell character in the 80s.
Yes, the most Kurt Russellist he's ever been. Yep. So apparently this movie was originally written to be a Western, and they had to rewrite it to set it in current day. That actually makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it does carry as a Western. Mind and spirit going north and south. We have the explanation of why Wang couldn't have smashed the bottle.
Yep.
And this is where we're basically getting to the instigating plot of this movie. Wang flew his fiance over from China. He'd been saving all his money. That's why he was gambling so much. Here we have Jack meeting his potential love interest. This is also why we know it's an old movie, because they are at the gate in the airport waiting yes. for people to get off the plane.
Now, here's Kim Cattrall, who at this point in the movie, it seems like this is a random meeting, because she's there to grab another Asian lady who is coming over. But yet later it's established that she knows the Wangs. She's all in. She knows everything about everything. I never understood that.
And I absolutely love how she shuts down Jack's horrible pickup lines. And now we see one of the two Chinese gangs just storming through the airport with some absolutely killer sunglasses. Love them.
Jack Burton, ladies man.
I think that was an actual joke, because we've got the swap from hot blonde to old lady and Wang's just in the background laughing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That felt pretty real.
Yep. So it looks like these gangsters here grab the wrong Chinese lady, thinking that it was the correct. Is that what happens here? Clearly, there's only two Chinese people in the world that are flying today.
See, I think this is where the storylines just overlap. So Wang is there to get Mao Yin. Kim Cattrall, lawyer, who's somehow a lawyer, but not really.
No.
And now the Chinese guys grab the girl that she was trying to get.
So Jack, though, I mean, he steps up and he tries to get involved, and now he's being kung fu attacked with.
But I love that his reaction is not, hey, don't pull a knife on me. It was, where'd you get it? Because I kind of want one. Can I buy that?
Yeah, where'd that come from? Like, his reactions always seem a little bit off.
That's one of my favorite lines of the whole movie. Jack, come on, Jack, because it's said more times than I can count. How many times does someone just scream, come on, Jack, in Big Trouble in Little China?
Totally empty parking garage at the airport.
Yep. So there's the first time Jack tells someone to call the police, but everyone refuses.
But again, like, at this moment, there is no reason to think Kim Cattrall's character has anything to do with the main plot.
Nope.
Like, she was there for a different lady, she got her different lady, and then now she left. Mao Yin has been captured by the actual gang. But then all of a sudden, Kim Cattrall character is with them like she's part of the gang. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. We did just have the first moment of Jack being a hero, because he knocks Wang out of the way from being run over by the car.
Again, good reflexes.
Good reflexes. Now they're in the Pork Chop Express, chasing down. Oh, and that was Wayne explaining. That was Wang explaining how they knew Kim Cattrall, and that she's a lawyer, and they just know her. I don't know. So basically, Jack is getting involved because he knows Wang, and that's really it. It's just his buddy, right?
Yeah, and so we got Egg Shen, that because of the first part of the movie, we know he's like a sorcerer, but if the movie had been left as it was, we would have no reason to suspect he's anything but a mild-mannered tour bus driver.
Great, great narration about Chinatown.
Yes.
Pork Chop Express.
And again, that line makes a lot of sense if this was a Western. So again, we have an introduction of a character that, as far as we know at this point, is not part of the plot. He just happens to be there, but becomes super important later. Mm-hmm. It's so weird, some of these.
And Jack almost runs him over with the semi. Yeah.
Okay, just did a hard right turn with a semi. Awesome. Good reflexes.
Such a great truck driver. Taking his semi lit down an alley that is literally no bigger than his truck.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where the movie starts to, like, pour on the weird. So he's trying to talk to basically like an NPC extra. She ignores him and walks away.
Randomly cutting up a duck on her porch.
Well, as you do. Oh, David Lopan.
One of the many versions of David Lopan in this movie. The other versions of him I get, but the one where he was just a hobo there makes no sense to me.
So there's a, well, I'll wait till we get there. So this looks like a funeral procession.
These are the good guys, according to Wang.
So the guys wearing the yellow bandanas, good. Oh, now we got some people wearing red bandanas. I'm going to guess bad. Plus, that's the bad guy in every movie ever.
Again, Jack has no idea what's going on. Everything is just happening around him. So he's kind of the everyman character because he needs everything explained to him. So he becomes our point of view entrance into the world of the movie.
Yeah, there's a six shooter. At least that's what he's called in the Big Trouble in Little China Marvel Legendary game.
Yep. So one of the bad guys, who's very clearly a kung fu warrior, has two six shooters on his hips.
Yep. Oh, so now they start shooting up the funeral procession. They drop the casket and pull out the sides and use them as like bow staffs.
So I always wondered if this actually was a funeral procession or was just a setup.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Machine guns firing all over the place. Jack's first instinct is to pull out his knife from his boot.
I just figured out how to turn Netflix volume down so it's not as loud as you are as we're talking. So they're in their truck just looking around, and now we're about to have a full-on martial arts fight. Red turbans versus yellow.
I like that they spent a few minutes just shooting each other, and now they're ready to do kung fu.
Well, and then they clean up. Like there's, it's like when on a basketball court when someone falls and then they take a time out. There's guys come out and scrub the floor.
Yep.
But they just cleaned up the dead bodies and the casket, so now we can have a fight without any danger of getting hurt, you know, by tripping over anything.
Right.
Very important.
We specifically had Wang call this a Chinese standoff.
You know the difference between that and a Mexican standoff? Doves. All right, so we just have a crazy full-on martial arts fight. Oh, that looked like that hurt. Oh.
For the time that this movie came out, this is some pretty decent action.
Yeah, that looked like a random white guy in the middle of all this, though.
Yeah. It's okay.
He got knocked out, though. Porn stash?
Oh, head that was through awesome. The board.
Yep. I'm going to do a porn stash count. I'm at one so far.
I think that dude just got stabbed in the dick.
All right, you keep up with dick stabbings. I'll keep up with porn stash.
Oh, he knocked that dude's elbow backwards.
Yeah. He got Zorro'd.
Yep. through the window.
Yeah. Oh man, this is like some.
It's a very brutal street fight.
You can see the concrete there gave a little bit when he landed. It looked like there were a couple extras in the background just there that didn't know they were in the background.
Yeah,
they were very lazily fighting as that action was going on.
Yes, some of the background choreography is very lacking.
Yeah. I'm going to count that as half a stash, so I'm at 1.5 porn stashes.
Oh, there we just saw the good guys doing their little L-shaped hand signal logo thingy. Whole bunch of them doing it all at once.
Now, this is the appearance of Sorceress Lopan, the seven-foot-tall...
No, these are the three winds.
Oh, that's right.
Giant hat, kung fu for no reason. Yeah.
What is up with those hats?
No idea. This is the guy I like the least, though, of the three wins. That first guy that shows up, not my favorite.
I'm guessing he was supposed to be thunder, because he booms. Probably. And then there's like wind, and then there's lightning, or it's like thunder, rain, lightning, and thunder, I think.
Yeah. Well, the last one that shows up is my favorite, because he rides down the fireman pole lightning style.
Yeah, he just showed up there.
Love that. So the three crazy sorcery people show up and just start doing kung fu poses and screaming a lot while wearing lampshades. Now, I think I read somewhere that last guy was basically the inspiration of Raiden in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much have to be, right?
Right. Oh, here's the stat.
Yeah, here we go.
Yep.
And they do a front flip, then knife throw.
They draw the knife, throw it up to their other hand, sort of.
They don't even throw it. It, like, floats right to the top.
I love the extendy claws. And the spinny rings! Oh! Easily the worst weapon ever.
I mean, I wouldn't want to fight him with it, but yeah. No. But so here we go. So they decide they've had enough. They've watched this 15-minute action film. They're about to run. Jack's trying to run them over, and they're all going to jump out of the way. But then we have the appearance of Sorceress Lopan.
Right. So the three sorcerer guys all get out of the way.
Right. But this is what's funny, is that later on you find out that he's incorporeal. He's not there. They actually ran him over. Like, he, like, thudded and fell over, but later when they show him, he's incorporeal and he just floats through stuff.
Oh.
But they didn't do that there. They didn't spend the money on the...
There's a lot of plot holes with Sorceress Lopan being a ghost, but being physically there. We'll see them a lot more later.
He needs his sunglasses. So they have to abandon the truck
right, and
run. Jack's blind. Because of Sorceress Lopan's laser eyes.
And then he fixes it.
This just takes some dirty, with some
dirty, horrible putrid, street
dirty
water.
Street water.
And he's totally fine.
Yeah. Dude, if I'm ever blind and we're being chased by ninja, do not throw dirty street water in my face.
I promise that I will not do that.
Thank you.
And now we get to the other part of the story. The gangsters from the airport are now getting involved with all of this. So it's just overlapping stories.
I mean, there's like 15 dead people just laying there.
The That's sorcery.
I feel like this was a.
Yeah, you're right. There's just more happening that we don't see.
Yeah, which isn't a bad thing. It's just not normal for a movie like this to not tell you everything. So now they're off the street hiding in an abandoned building, but there's another one of these Chang Shi guys here, the good guys.
Sing Sings. Sing Sings?
Sing Sings. Sing Sings.
So the three winds killed everybody in the street, the good guys and the bad guys, and then Jack and Wang were running from the other gang of kidnappers from the airport, and now they're crawling through trash. Oh, and then we have the hoodie come off to reveal the classic tank top.
Yes. I also noticed that brick tunnel kind of flexed when he hit it with his shoulder there.
Oh, definitely. Can we also talk about Jack's stupid boots for a second?
Those big, like, knee-high moccasins?
What the hell? What? What are those? And you have your jeans tucked into them. Come on, man. That's just not cool.
And now he's wearing a kimono. Why is Khan trying to call his insurance company?
I love Jack's conversation in the background of this scene while he's trying to get the insurance number. Jack's little monologue there perfectly summarizes that he has no clue what's going on. As do none of the viewers, because there's just no context. It just, things are just happening.
But everybody else, this is important information.
Right. So now Wang is talking to another guy who knows everything.
Yeah, here, Eddie. He's the maitre d' at the restaurant, but yet he gets involved in this entire escapade. He knows everything about what's going on.
Again, I think if we saw the first movie of this trilogy, there would have been some sort of setup with Eddie and Wang and all these families being part of this mystical Chinese underground with the mythology. There has to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, how does the maitre d' know that?
So we also have here, again, the confusing overlapping story that Jack's truck was taken by the thugs in the airport, but not the gangsters that they were fighting in the red turbans. And here, Kim Cattrall shows up.
Yeah, her name is Gracie Law. He's the lawyer. So, why is she there?
Yeah, she comes right in, and they don't care. They're not surprised. They're not shocked. They just know her. She's supposed to be there. Although she did just say everything was her fault, so...
But it's not. She was there to try to protect someone. She was there for very altruistic reasons. There just happens to be a separate kidnapping that was happening at the same time.
Right. This is where we're learning that the gangsters that stole Jack's truck are running a prostitution ring. Oh, no, they're... No, I'm sorry. They are kidnapping Chinese girls and selling them as prostitutes.
Right.
And that's what Gracie is looking into. It just so happens that... Wait, what's the other girl's name? Wei Lin?
Yeah, Mei Lin.
The other girl with green eyes was there at the same time who was also getting kidnapped, and the wrong people kidnapped the wrong person.
Right, there were two separate kidnappings. Both of them Chinese gangs trying to take Chinese women, both of them for terrible reasons. One for basically sex slavery. The other one for a sorceress spell to bring Lopan back to corporeal form.
Right. I love the pink caddy, by the way. And this is basically Gracie saying that she has been crusading against the prostitution ring because everyone knows her. So she's establishing herself as a fighter for the good here.
And then but again, how does she know them?
Again, that's the first movie. But here we have cheesy, horrible Jack in the mustard suit.
Pretending to be an out-of-town businessman who wants some company for the evening.
That might be one of my favorite parts of the entire movie.
One of my favorite parts, it's coming up much later, but I absolutely love it. I'll expand upon it when we get there. But it's another Jack entrance.
So Gracie runs out of the car to another car.
That just happens to be there.
One of her friends, who again, just knows everything that's going on.
She wants to be a reporter, apparently.
if you'll notice, a lot of the characters have a quick intro stating exactly what they want to do. Yeah. Henry Swanson's my name. It's not deductible.
And then here comes DJ Subtle. Hey, do you have one with green eyes?
It feels like that was the bluff check that just totally botched.
And we have the worst secret passage in the world, because it is super obvious that there's a door there. Because it's recessed like 2 inches.
And there's Wei Lin, whatever her name is. Jack trying to get information out of the prostitute is just so painfully horrible.
He's his gather information check did not do well. And now we have a earthquake? I mean, I guess it is San Francisco, but there's a giant green ball of energy. Now we're in the Ghostbusters movie. Like, there's so many times where this movie just takes a weird tonal shift that makes no sense. Oh, it's the Three Winds. They've returned.
I love when that lady gets lightning through the wall because it makes no sense.
Yes. I want a hat like that.
I don't. You couldn't see through it. It'd be stupid.
Well, it has little like visor slits. But you notice that the camera's always underneath them looking up so you can see their face.
Yep. So we have the Three Winds in here, and Jack...
I love Jack's swagger. Like, he is so out of his element, he has no idea.
He just gets kicked through the room.
Yeah.
I do like the lightning effects that are just everywhere when lightning is doing stuff.
I mean, for, like, when this movie was made, yeah. Now he's going to ride the lightning.
I love the lightning fireman's pole. That's, like, my favorite thing in this entire movie. And now we have the Jack scene again. What's going on? I don't understand anything.
I'm going to narrate everything that doesn't make sense in this movie.
And again, Gracie knows everything. Huge exposition dump.
Jack Burton is the audience surrogate. Who the hell are you?
Because no one knows. So this is where we're explaining that there are multiple versions of David Lopan.
Good job, Jack.
And now we have Gracie explaining why she was there for the other girl.
I love that. You want the truth? Yeah, we don't know it. I love that dialogue. The most dangerous cutthroat place in... I love that bravado. He knows he's out of his depth, but, you know, he's a good friend. He's going to go with it.
He just swaggers everywhere.
So- We're not back by Don Call the President. I swear he's channeling the Elvis, isn't he? Like, isn't that like he's basically playing him like Elvis?
It's all charisma. He's got no skills other than charisma. Born ready.
This is actually my favorite.
Why is he carrying a telephone?
Exactly. Why? They're trying to pretend like they're from the phone company. He holds up a phone. It's like, phone company. Yeah.
He's just bluffing his way through, and then Wang is just babbling in Chinese to these guys.
The fact that he carries an old phone as he walks in is my favorite part. I love that.
So they're going into a warehouse of somebody, which might be a bank, right? Because didn't they say somewhere that David Lopan had a bank?
I think this is like a warehouse, like import-export.
Yeah, there's a bunch of statues on the shelves there. I love the keep outline. And now we have Egg showing up to do some magic, sort of.
Yeah, so now we know he wasn't just a random bus driver, but he's also related to the story.
Again, in a way that we don't understand, but everyone else does. So this is kind of the point in the story where we realize that people know the danger of Lopan, and they've been either waiting to deal with it or trying to prevent it or something, and it's just erupting now. So
I want to mention here, this is some great writing here. Notice how Jack will come over and kind of kick that storm drain cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, there's a comment, look, this is probably right where we came in. And sure enough, they come out of that storm drain later. The secret elevator.
I love the elevator line here.
What is this, Chinese or something? Yeah. But what's funny is that you saw drag marks leading to this quote-unquote hidden elevator, but you didn't see any indication that those objects had already been moved out of the way.
Right.
Like, you would have seen footprints and drag marks of the furniture they had to move, too.
And who moved them back after they dragged the lady through?
Even better point!
And now Egg is just eating food and waxing philosophical. And we're getting some Chinese mythology philosophy here.
Yep, because if you get the furries, if you get the furies out of balance, you become immortal, apparently, but you lose corporeal form.
And this is where they're kind of explaining the multiple Lopans, but it still doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
I love Jack insisting that they just do what's real because they don't have to figure out ghosts.
Yeah, but this part makes no sense. So there's a trap door above them. They were getting ready to climb out. Now that there's water filling up, they abandon that plan and instead open the doors. So A, they could have opened the doors before, and B, it's actually easier to get to the trap door because they can swim up there. They like go underwater like they don't have any ability to float or swim. It makes no sense. So then they open the door,
and they're
Why don't they swim straight up? Like, I've never understood this in movies. Like, why are they trying to swim forward?
Yeah. Well, obviously they have to see all the creepy upside down skeletons.
Yes, because there's lots of hells in Chinese mythology. Apparently, one is the upside down,
the hell of upside down sinners.
Yep. Good call. Oh, now we get the torture scene.
But I really didn't get where they swam, because I thought they were in the elevator shaft, but then one of the thunders was right above them, so it makes no sense.
Well, they swam out of the elevator shaft.
Oh, so they went into a different room. Okay.
Yeah, they opened the elevator door and swam out.
And this is where the three winds start randomly changing their outfits every scene. Because they were just in their lampshade kung fu outfits, and now they're in awesome black and red suits.
So do you think those blindfolds are Velcroed, or did he actually cut those?
I don't know. We'll have to ask John Carpenter. And they're tied to wheelchairs for no reason.
Well, it's easy to move people around.
Yeah, all right. And it allows us to see all of those awesome moccasin boots in all their glory. And now we have old guy Lopan, David Lopan.
So not hobo Lopan, not sorcerer Lopan, but ancient.
Disgusting old guy Lopan.
Yeah. It's like Yoda.
Shut up, Mr. Burton. Jack just wants his truck back the whole time.
Yeah, that's what he's after.
I mean, his driving force is that he just wants his truck.
Pun intended?
Yes. He's kind of like the reverse Han Solo, right? Han Solo says, I want the money, I want the money, but then doesn't take the money. Jack Burton says, I want the truck, I want the truck. And then he takes the truck.
And then he takes the truck.
And he also takes the money, too, at the end.
That makeup isn't good, but it is effectively creepy.
It's very creepy. So the setup here is that the corporeal David Lopan was cursed to stay alive until he could bring back the ghost Lopan, right? Maybe?
I think his powerful form is incorporeal, so he can't actually influence anything. His corporeal form is immortal, but it's, you know, aged and infirmed, and he needs a green-eyed girl to marry him to break the curse, but then he has to kill the girl to appease the gods, and then he will be wholly formed.
That makes no sense.
Nope. Jack never knows what's going on.
Even all this exposition here is very confusing and unclear. Because David Lopan is explaining the plot of kind of what's going to happen, but it still doesn't make much sense.
That is such a weird moment. Yeah. Like, he's going to marry and then murder this woman, but then it talks like, well, you know, sometimes men and women just don't get along.
Yeah. And then he keeps saying that Mao Yin is safe. So he's insisting that she's okay, even though his plan is to murder her.
Well, I mean, in truth, he is going to protect her until that point.
That's true. So now they're trying to get into where Jack and Wang bluffed their way into. And now we have, again, one of the Wins in his classy suit.
This is not foreshadowing at all. These wheelchairs going up a very precarious ramp.
Nope, not at all. Rock the chair over. Rock it over. Yep. Smash! Yeah. But the chair...
No, it's funny.
The chair doesn't break.
He bends over. Yeah, but he bends over and pulls down his blindfold. But he could have done that while he was sitting up.
Right.
Like, there was nothing about being on the floor that changed his ability to do that.
No, not at all. The chair doesn't break, but somehow, now that he knocked it over, he can get to his knife and cut all the ropes.
Yeah.
And now we've got Eddie and Gracie, and I think the other girl's name is Margot.
Margot.
And they're all getting drugged. Super confused where the smoke is coming from.
Three, four guys just standing there.
I think those are ladies.
Yeah, you're right. There's a whole section of like female gang members at one point. Mm-hmm.
I love when he hits the skeleton with his knife for no reason.
So we're going to get another version of the Lopan story.
There's a lot of exposition breaks in this movie.
Yeah, so Lopan was cursed by the first emperor of Japan, 272 BC, to not have a body, but not to die either. Classic D&D move here. Pretend you're still captured.
Yep. Almost forgot the blindfolds, but he throws it back on.
Yeah, luckily.
And the guy just doesn't even make a spot check. He just says, oh, yep, they're sitting in the chairs. Must be fine.
Yeah. He had disadvantage because he was carrying a body, which is Eddie, which he hangs on a hook on his jacket.
So how did Jack just signal Wang when they're both blindfolded? So now they're fighting one of the Winds. I think it's Thunder. My least favorite.
I would say the least effective.
Also true. Come on, Jack! Again, there we go.
Yeah, so his power is to expand, like puff up like the blob.
Sure. And there we go. Here's the chair. Jack gets knocked into the chair. Why couldn't he just jump out of the chair?
Oh, nice bowling sound effects there.
Yep.
There's actually a roadblock, like, sign there.
Right.
And to keep people out.
And he crashes through the rocks into a well that is in the middle of a building somewhere.
Yeah.
And he muscles his way up, holding it. Oh, it's so tense. He might fall. A little bit forward. A little bit forward.
A little bit forward. Slide out.
Jump! Totally fine. Oh, wait. This is one of my favorite parts.
Yes, absolutely. So Eddie has a shotgun. Wang has a Uzi. And he hands Jack a trade you.
And they just swap the guns all around. Poor Eddie.
So that's one of the things I wonder, like, was that in the script or was that just something like on the set they thought would be funny?
I don't know.
I hope it was just something they thought would be funny. I always, as much as a person who wants to be a writer, I just feel like sometimes those are the things that happen in the moment that you couldn't create.
Oh, and here we have Lopan switching from one version to the other.
Also showing his Coke finger now.
Really Coke creepy fake statue of him with lights coming out of it. And this is the first
I love how he moves.
Yep.
He's on roller skates, clearly. He's not walking.
Nope.
He's just gliding.
And this is the first time we see him being incorporeal, goes through the couch, goes through the wall.
Right, but not the truck. The truck actually hit something.
Right. And now he goes into the weird white lattice room. And Mao Yin is just floating there for no reason.
He kind of has that arrow through the head thing that Steve Martin used to do, but it's through his hat.
Yep. And again, he can't touch her. It's very important that he cannot touch her, because very shortly, he will touch her.
But I think that's when he starts to become corporeal. Corporeal, however you say that.
Maybe.
Yet again, Coke spoon.
It's like a Coke ladle.
Like, how did he miss that guy?
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't know he was there. Oh, porn stash.
Oh, and I love this part, because Jack doesn't take the safety off the gun. And he just accidentally shoots this guy.
And murders him.
I love that line. Eddie's like, I shoot people all the time. What's wrong with you?
Exactly. He's a maitre d'. Why is he an action hero?
Again, first movie that we don't know.
Yep.
Jack's reaction when he shoots the guy is hysterical. We also saw Wang being the hero there because he just takes on all the thugs.
Yeah, he clearly is a great martial artist.
Well, Wang is the main character of this movie. This is his story. He's the hero. He gets the girl at the end. Margot journaling.
So this is another great word. This makes no sense. So their plan to get through is for Wang to pretend like he's going to shoot Eddie. But both Wang and Eddie are the opposite team. Like, that doesn't mean anything to them.
Right. And Jack is muscling his way across the bridge and being all sneaky, and everyone misses him.
Yeah, so this is like a distraction. I mean, this is like Cleavon Little in Blazing Saddles when he threatens to shoot himself.
Right. And makes no sense. I don't...
Smoking kills kids.
Right.
Don't smoke.
I don't know why they had smoke coming out of the stick. I mean, why? What's the point?
Because it didn't apparently do anything.
Yeah.
Now she...
And then they just wait until Eddie knocks the chick out.
Oh, Tonfas.
Tonfas.
How are you going to spring us? She knows she's in an action movie.
And I love that he just admits he has no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
At no point does he actually hit those locks.
Oh, no. And if he did that, I'm sure he murdered like three or four people at that point.
Exactly.
The knife in his boot is used a lot, and that will become important later.
The fact that it's Velcroed in there.
That way, maybe. Like, that's awesome. I love that. That way, maybe.
So they just saved a whole bunch of girls that had been kidnapped.
Yep.
And they're all jumping into the water because that's what you do.
Apparently, they already know that there's a tunnel underneath there.
It's a throw Margo in because she doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
Knocks Jack in.
That's the worst dive. Worst dive. She just belly flopped.
And of course, shooting the water does nothing because, of course, they've already swum away.
And Mythbusters taught us that it's very difficult for bullets to penetrate water.
Right, so we're okay.
So this is a scientifically accurate movie to this point.
I love this. Where's Margo?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Where are you? I don't know. Pulls up Margo. Where's Eddie?
Beats me.
Oh, no. Grabs the next person.
Just happens to be Eddie.
Eddie.
Bleh!
This had to have been a funny movie or a fun movie to make. There's Jack. Apparently he comes from a different angle.
Right.
Oh.
Oh, there's the kiss. She's so desperate to find him for no reason because she's expressed absolute hatred for him to this point in the movie. Then she's desperate to find him. And then when he kisses her, she acts upset.
The Star Wars homage. They go through the sewers into the garbage disposal.
Right. Everybody relax.
You're the hero.
Putting his knife back into his boot. Super important.
Yeah. You know what? You're right.
It is.
These are gonna come, right. They're going to come out of the same sewer grate that he kicked earlier.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Boop. Da-da-da-da.
I just think that that's a great little moment there, the way that worked around. I still love. Oh, look. The furniture got moved back again. There must be someone whose job it is.
And the drag marks were gone, by the way.
Yes.
All right. I love this exchange. I love this exchange. Wait for it. He sets up the plan.
It's like. That's like Goonies.
Wait for it. Open the door, see the bad guys, slam the door.
We may be trapped. But they can't hear you either.
Right. Jack's trying to be noble. They only saw me. I'll just stand here and fight.
I still can't get over that. That way, maybe.
And now Jack is all about shooting people at this point. After
after
one murder, he is ready to go.
Well, they always say the next one gets easier.
That's true. And here we've got Wang being the awesome action hero that he is. He takes on a group of at least, what, 8 guys?
Yeah. I love Jack here. He accidentally throws his knife out.
Gotta go get it. Gotta go get it.
Yeah. I mean, he's committed. He wants to be a part of it. There's a porn stash.
He jumps out so fierce and ready to fight. Everyone's down. Back to the same poor 2 guards who are just the heels of every joke here. They're just doing their job. Oh, this is important.
Yes.
Ooh. Creepy eyes in the statue.
Creepy eyes. But now they're not. Now they're gone already.
Yep. Again, Jack is making the same exact plan. I get in the way, you all go past me.
You just reach with
those poor security guards. Oh, creepy monster hand. What happened? Out of nowhere. I have a big problem with the monsters in this movie, by the way. So they all run out. They're getting into Egg's tour bus. And all the guards just come out to shoot him. He's so excited that they won. So Gracie's kidnapped by the giant monster. Horrible, horrible costume. His toes don't even touch the ground. So now we're going down into the really creepy sewer supernatural area underneath where all the other action was happening before. And we have this random monkey demon with a horrible costume. Some really, really creepy, awkward stares between Gracie and the Three Winds. And creepy old David Lopan rolls in.
Yeah, but what cracks me up about this is that apparently he didn't actually need a Chinese girl with green eyes. He just needed a girl with green eyes. So this entire time, for the last however many thousands of years, he could have had a much larger range of possibilities if he had known that.
Well, as he said, sometimes things just don't work out. So.
He's such a creep.
And she bites him.
Creepy old man.
Oh, he's 2,000 years old. Sharpening the knife.
Sharpening the knife.
Super important.
Very important.
And Margot basically just calls out, none of this makes any sense. And Jack agrees. And the yellow turbans come back with the awesome sign language L sign, so we know they're good guys. Hands him the dirty, hairy 357 Magnum. Yeah.
So dismissively, too.
Yep. He just wants his truck.
Yep. I'm pretty sure she could break out of there.
I'm pretty sure
she could. Lattice.
Yeah.
But we know she's the lawyer of the heart of gold. She's not going to leave without Mao Yin.
We don't have any kind of research or facts here on the RPG Academy, guys. You know that by now.
She doesn't know how to say it either, so we're good.
Meow, meow.
And suddenly we have Sorcerer Lopan back.
Yeah. So he's not actually 7 feet tall. He just has a foot tall hat.
And more exposition incoming.
Hey, his Coke spoon's gone.
So I think, oh, it's back.
No, it's back.
I think that was the explanation. The girl that can tame the burning blade. So they have to be able to pass the ceremony. So none of the other ones did. I think that's the point.
Ah. But again, if he's only limited himself to Chinese ladies with green eyes, but he could have been trying any girl with green eyes, he probably could have done this a lot sooner.
True. I also like to point out that Jack is carrying his Uzi wrapped in a newspaper. going into this scene. That's very classy.
Nope, he just dropped the newspaper.
So now we've got Egg getting out all of his crazy sorcerer equipment.
All right, so this is a thing that cracks me up. So they're going to go down the bat pole, right? So I want you to pay close attention to the first guy who goes down the bat pole. He's holding a stick upright. That second dude would have jammed his ass right on it. There's no way he would have got down and off the pole fast enough not to stab that guy in the ass.
They're just really good friends, Michael. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
And Wang has now changed into a cool jumpsuit with an awesome sword. And I think that pole is just a big piece of pipe. It doesn't even look like a weapon. I think there were threads on top of that pole.
So, yeah, now we're into, like, a D&D dungeon. It's supposed to be the sewer, but it doesn't look like a sewer.
So,
not that I've been in one, I guess, but...
So, straight up, let's recognize that Egg, the sorcerer, has a fireman's pole into the underworld in his garage.
Yes.
And now we have the ceremony of the three winds doing random kung fu.
And I kind of feel like there was some contract negotiation, because this first guy here, Thunder, he has a very long, he's a lot of screen time.
Yep.
And then when he goes to the other two, they're much faster, much quicker.
Lots of close up on the green eyes.
Yep.
Last time I watched this, Tressa came into the room and she had no idea what was happening. And she goes, "Is that guy hypnotizing her with kung fu?" It's yes. Possible. I don't know. I don't understand half of what happens in this movie. So they're going through the underworld, which is in the sewers.
But they're stalactites.
An Egg is kind of explaining a little bit about the mythology behind all of it.
Where are they? These are not the sewers underneath San Francisco.
And Thunder is still doing his kung fu.
Yeah, still kung fuing.
So this is all part of the ritual, as I understand yep. it. So the three winds have to do their part of the ritual, the burning blade, to see if the girls will pass the test. And this is, which one is this? This is Rain, I think.
Yeah.
Rain has two swords, and he's doing this cool, like, crane-style thing.
Right, but he goes straight there. I mean, he's doing his thing for, like, maybe 10 seconds. Thunder had, like, an hour.
Yeah, it's very true. And I love this part.
Yeah.
He has these two Chinese longswords, and the girls just grab them.
And then they float to the ceiling in a minute.
Fake leopard print armbands, really cool there. And the girls get levitated up.
So they're holding on to the burning blades. They go up to... like a crystal ball, they touch it, and apparently that's what they needed to do to activate this. So a ladder. That's all he needed was a ladder.
Right. It was basically proving they were worthy, I think. That's the mythology behind it. You had to be able to hold the blade and get levitated to touch the giant pearl, and if you didn't die, then you would be eligible to be a bride. And they both passed. But now we're back in the underworld, and there's a random thing in the water.
And then the best 1986 special effects money can buy. Giant spider creature. Egg throws some marbles at it after it's already eaten his buddy. Because he's done eating Egg. He's full. He doesn't need you.
Why did he have to shine his flashlight on the marbles, though? What part of magic is that?
Well, you need to do a quick count to make sure you had the right number.
Oh, okay. And then I love this part. So Gracie is all dolled up, but she's totally normal. She's trying to say what's going on. Was she not hypnotized before?
I think she broke out of it. She was hypnotized, but her will was strong enough to break out of it.
So she finally she finally made her will save, is what we're saying.
Yes. Yeah. She gets to go at the beginning and end of her turn.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, not during the middle.
All right, so now their eyes are pearl white.
Because apparently lightning just instantly hypnotizes people with his lightning powers.
Yep. So why does Jack have his knife in his mouth? Is not in his boot?
There's another great, hey, Jack, come on. I love it.
Hey, Jack, come on.
Yes, why would you grip your knife in your teeth when you're about to dive down a tunnel in the underworld?
Because you want to stab your buddy, just like the other guy earlier.
And land on a giant pile of fish.
As you do. With rats on it.
And that was very clearly just a big squishy pile that he climbed off of.
Yeah.
And again, Egg is explaining more. Why wouldn't you just explain it all at once? Why does he just parcel out his wisdom so slowly?
Yeah, why stop now and say, oh, by the way, this guy we're coming to stop, he's also going to kill somebody, so we need to stop him more. Like, that didn't really change anything other than to make everyone more anxious and nervous.
And this is where Egg reveals he has the magic potion in the gourd.
Yep.
That line, only a dream can kill a dream? What does that mean? Because that's not what happens at the end. At all.
I think the potion is supposed to, like, it sort of takes you to this place that makes you more than real or something.
Or less than real, because you have to be a dream.
That's true. All right, so they run and hide, but there's no way they weren't seen.
Yeah.
They were running down a hallway.
Worst guards ever.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, well, hold on. What's in the flask, Egg? Magic potion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Thought so. Good. I love that. What's in the gourd? Magic potion? We drink it? Yeah. I love that.
That's the one instance of understanding that Jack gets.
Here's my second favorite part. Why is there neon outlining in the secret Chinese stronghold?
Because there's also torches. It's not like anything makes sense here.
Like, their neon budget must have been out of control for this movie.
And the escalator. There's neon.
There's an escalator!
So Egg is yelling at the beholder. And they just don't care. Because Egg is yelling at the thing, I'm here to kill you. He's not trying to hide from it. He's just, all right, fine.
Oh, he also says, I am the past come back to haunt you. So Egg must, and there's a line early says he's been waiting on this for a long time. So, again, that must be part of that first movie where Egg, maybe Egg's mother or wife or girlfriend was a girl that was killed by Lopan trying to undo himself, you think?
I thought it played out that Egg is another immortal sorcerer from when Lopan was around the first time. And he's been here waiting to try to get rid of the ghost. And then Jack shoots the beholder and he runs away.
Yeah, you never know till you try.
So
he's so indignant.
So here's my problem with the monsters. There are exactly three monsters in this movie. None of them serve any purpose. There's the beholder there who's just comedic relief. There's the spider monster.
Yeah.
And then there's the monkey monster that kidnaps Gracie.
I'm already thinking ahead.
Yes, the monkey monster is a joke. That's the only reason he's there, is to be a punchline. So
he's coming down the escalator out of the neon mouth of the skull.
The neon temple. The winds are back in their traditional costumes.
Coke ladles. Porn sass.
Yep.
4.5.
What the hell? What? Now, very clearly, a hand in a glove was that tongue. Oh, here's the monkey demon. Again, no reason.
I love this part. It's like, that's hollow. Yeah. All right. Fuck it.
Hollow?
Yeah. Fuck it. I love that.
And that's how you use strength to pick a lock, guys.
Yeah. I was like, I know. It's an elevator. It goes down, right? Yeah. Like, he doesn't know what's going on, but Jack's clearly caught on to the story. Like, he's read the script now.
At this point, he's bought into the campaign, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So they pour out the magic potion, which is all just dry ice and Kool-Aid. See things no one can see, do things no one can do. Great. And then we have this super patriotic toast for why? Why, Wayne?
Yeah. I mean, that's like straight out of like Top Secret or Airplane. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
So Jack is asking him what's in the magic potion, but he doesn't buy in until Wayne makes this ultra patriotic, let's drink. It's a really awkward elevator scene. Everyone's a little bit too friendly. If this was a different kind of movie, the next scene would have been very different.
Different, yeah.
Now, I always thought that the gimmick was that the potion did nothing. It was just a placebo.
Right.
Because Egg had to convince them to go in and fight. But maybe I'm wrong. Again, he's supposed to be incorporeal.
But he can touch that. And he kind of touched the dude who handed it to him.
Yup. And when he goes to stab the girls, he's touching them too.
Yeah. Well, he just said he's flesh.
Okay.
So maybe this is part of the ritual he can.
Maybe.
To just enact the spell, he has to be able to do this part.
And this part, this ritual makes no sense. He stabs them in the wrist with a needle. Why? Why? Super dirty. Super dirty lines right there. Especially with that face.
That's his O-face.
That's definitely his O-face.
And he reaches in and he has a spot of blood from the same place that he stabbed her. Oh, look, this is the beholder again.
Yeah. And now we get the comedic joke right there. One of my favorite parts is coming up. Wait for it. Yeah. Right here. Boom, boom. There we go.
Yeah, this whole fight is, it's Jack not doing anything.
If you ever wanted proof that Jack is not the hero of this movie, that it's scene, right there. He knocks himself out. So Egg said, oh, we're too late. He already completed the ceremony. We have to wait even further to kill him so we know it's okay. So now we go into a huge fight scene between the yellow turbans, the red turbans, and the three winds. And we're still trying to stab the Chinese girl in the wrist with the needle. Yeah, because that's what you do.
We have a very extended fight scene between Wang and Rain, I think.
Yeah. Huge, huge wire foo jump through the air fight scene.
Oh, Six Shooter's dead.
Yep.
All right, so here comes one of these giant... oh, not yet.
Oh, Jack Susie. Oh,
just turned it to glitter.
Yep.
Ah!
And Thunder gets thrown out of the fight for no reason.
God. Yeah, but so one of these giant statue armor things comes in. I like this move. He pushes the dagger up, but then he spends the next few minutes just underneath this guy.
Yep. Again, Jack has no purpose in this fight. And how did he stab that knife through that dude's armor?
He must have rolled a 20.
Musta. Oh, but now he's stuck, yeah, so he fails strength check.
Fail his strength check.
Glass dildo in the cannon? What?
That's kind of what it looked like. Yep.
Some fireworks go off.
He shot a Roman candle at him.
Yep. They're just taking a nap in the air as they as they fly. Wait for it. Love it. I love Wang's reaction.
Peasant magic.
Wait. Oh, I love this part.
This is definitely the Schwartz, right?
Yes. So they...
Like, your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Right. So they shoot magic at each other, and there's... Oh, but he's doing good... Video game!
Video game thumbs!
As they're using their magic to fight each other, and making spectral warriors...
You know, if there's anything I want in this world, I would like a role-playing game that could take a wizard's duel and bring it down to its components, like two people could really do that well. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be pretty awesome. Maybe someone should do that.
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should. Tinfoil.
Oh, metal fan. Oh!
Tinfoil
beef
lightning.
Your own attacks? Oh, finally, Jack gets the guy off of him. Here comes Thunder back.
Rain and Wang are still flying through the air fighting. The gold guys are fighting the red guys.
Oh, no. Porn Stash just died.
Oh.
Escalator's still working, though. So Lightning Guy is going to shoot the mouth of the skull to close it to try to keep people from not being able to follow. So what we've learned from this fight is if he had just not jumped the first time.
Wang throws the swords backwards and drives him into the exploding skull thing. So why did Lightning even shoot? Because they still go up the escalator and they still go through it. So now Egg is just destroying the temple where they need to go. They have to go through there, and Egg just blew it up.
Oh,
monkey demon.
That monkey demon's got nards.
Yep. Gracie kicked him in the balls. And suddenly Jack is checking out the hot girl he's standing next to. Suddenly his bravado is backed up with that magic potion.
At least this time it's consensual.
Yep.
And I also love the fact that he's got lipstick on his lips for the next scene. But they're not like, I mean, that's a really mushy kiss, but in the scene, they're just over like the center of his lips.
And I think I read somewhere that during the filming of this last part, he had the flu. So he was really sick. So all of that sweat he's glistening is just him being feverish. And Jack is back in full bravado strength here, just strutting into the room to face off with Thunder.
Jack Burton.
He's got lipstick on his teeth. And the actual hero is now here, so Jack is fine.
It was just stalling.
I mean, this is basically the bard making bluff checks until the fighter walks into the room, right?
Here we go.
Throw the knife.
And
totally misses.
Everyone's
I love his reaction. And Gracie's.
This is the only part I don't like, because I do love this part. But when he throws the knife at him.
Wait for it.
Like, he didn't throw it in any way that it was going to hit him either. Like, if Jack hadn't caught it, it would have just went beside him. It wasn't like thrown at his face.
Oh, yeah.
And he caught it.
Yeah, Lopan just kind of tosses it back to him like they're playing catch with a softball. Yeah. And then.
No, I did that in an RPG once. I was playing a monk with that ability to catch. Weapons.
Oh yeah!
And someone threw a dagger at me, and then I rolled a natural 20 to throw it back and killed them. It was pretty awesome.
That is cool.
And I'm pretty sure I said it's all in the reflexes.
You'd have to.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have got punched in the nuts if I didn't. So I love this part. Why does he stop and just destroy the statue for no reason?
He's just so angry. Finally, gets the lipstick off. It really looked like Thunder is just flailing at that point. Is he doing anything? He's just running around.
Uh-oh. So Thunder notices now that Lopan has been killed.
He sees that Lopan is dead. He's super angry. I think he's going to cry.
You can't keep those emotions all bottled up inside you, Thunder. Eventually they're going to just cause you to explode in rage, or in your case, maybe chunks. Because he turned into a Garbage Pail Kid for some reason.
Yes. Was he trying to attack? I don't get it. Was he just really angry and he got...
out of control?
Yeah. Because then he just blows up and there's wet green chunks everywhere. So he blows up, takes out Lopan's office. Everything's fine.
Oh, but nope.
Oh, but,
but here comes lightning.
Lightning's still around.
I remember the first time I watched this, I'm like, I don't understand what's happening here.
No one does.
Because they see a hole, and you'll see lightning. He goes through like an entire kata, and it just seems like pointless. Why is he just not like attacking them?
Yeah.
He's like, shoot that way.
He's just shooting the ceiling. He's shooting the wall. At no point does he even try to attack them while they're getting away.
So what I see now, I realize he was trying to cause that thing to fall to block their escape, which would have worked well, but they were already escaping up a tunnel.
Yeah, he was nowhere near where he was shooting the wall.
Like, he just wasted his turns. He had them on initiative, and then he just, like, didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. And how the hell does Jack jump 10 feet up in the air to climb up?
Well, he's had that potion.
That's true.
And he's also well-rested because he hasn't done much this whole battle.
Oh, that's true. I love that line there. They ask, how did Egg get up there? Wasn't easy. I think that's the equivalent of the GM saying, yep, that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
So we've got Egg's random grappling hook to get them out of there.
Which is a cool little toy, by the way.
It is.
Like, I would pay 3,000 gold pieces for one of those.
And now they just drop a statue on lightning.
You really shouldn't use Buddha like that, though. I don't think Buddha would approve.
Oh, poor Lightning. My favorite of the winds, and he just gets such a short, quick, cheap end.
At least he didn't blow himself up.
Also true. So now they're back in the warehouse to still get away.
This is like one of those MMO or RPGs where, like, you can get so far in the dungeon, but then you have to go back, and then now that you've got the key, you can go through the door you couldn't
wait
go.
Wait for it.
My truck!
I just love that he sees it and doesn't pay attention, and then he suddenly remembers it's his truck.
Now we got cops again.
Now, these are
Jack's out running bullets.
The building security guards. So these were David Lopan's guys, the old guy. Back in the Pork Chop Express. No keys! Oh, no!
Both guys do.
Oh, that's right. They're right there. Did he take them out of his pocket? I think he took them out of his pocket.
No, I think they were supposed to be like under the seat or something, but he didn't really bend down low enough to get them out of the floorboard.
And then he just goes backwards.
Yeah. Which wasn't what he meant to do, but it worked out well.
Well, I love the fact that he apologizes for doing that instead of just saying that was his plan all along, right? Because you'd expect him to say, it's what I meant to do, baby, deal with it. I'm Jack Burton. And now the actual cops show up. And he slams on
stop! Red light! And it's like, oh, wait.
There's no cars anywhere. You don't even see the light in the outside shot. And then the actual hero gets the girl. Eddie's got the booze, because he's the maitre d'.
Yeah. Not the sommelier, though.
No.
It's a real self-satisfied grin there.
See, this is the scene that makes me think that Egg has been around for centuries trying to defeat Lopan.
And then he's lost somebody, clearly.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yowza. The only way this scene could have been cheesier is if she would have said the title of the movie for the title of her article.
Yeah.
So he's got about, what, $3,000? Yeah, and he says he's a rich man. Now, I'll admit,
this is the 80s.
$3,000 or $4,000 is a lot to me even right now in this day and age, but it still doesn't seem like that's the thing to boast about.
This is one of the best parts of the movie, though. It's his total Han Solo moment.
Yep.
Nope.
Shook the pillars of heaven.
I'm telling you, he's projecting Elvis this whole movie. I've read that he does that, like for the Snake Plissken, he's basically playing John Wayne.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like this is Elvis the whole time. We really shook the pillars of heaven, didn't we? Now he's drinking and driving.
But at least he's not wearing sunglasses.
Correct.
But he is drinking probably some rum or something. Again, speaking into the ethos of the CB airwaves. Yeah.
And he also mentions all three of the winds, but, you know, rain, thunder, and lightning.
Porkchop Express right there. Love it. Oh, no. Monkey Demon.
It's sequel.
Again. No point of that monster ever being in the movie except for that punchline.
Yep. Awesome. So, any final thoughts on Big Trouble in Little China?
I love Big Trouble in Little China so much. It is...
Every moment is great.
It is such a good game campaign. Maybe not D&D, but it's absolutely a game, an extended game session.
Wushu. It's all in the reflexes.
It's definitely Wushu. Checks in the mail. That's another one of them.
I picked and plucked at it a lot, you know, picking out little inconsistencies and whatever, but I love that movie. I watch it with a grin on my face the entire time. There's certain moments, holding the telephone up when he walks in, you know, that just, that way, maybe. There's just so many lines that are just great lines for a movie.
So it's super entertaining. It just fits with a game campaign so well. You've got all the exposition, you've got all the different character roles, you've got the big bad, you've got his lieutenants as the sub-bosses, he's got all his minions, the good guys get their own army, you've got the sorcerer, you've got the fighter, and then Jack, who's just no one, but somehow tags along for the entire adventure.
Yeah, and takes down the ultimate bad guy. He somehow manages to be helpful at the absolute moment he needed to be.
I mean, sometimes you roll that 20 when it matters.
That's right. All right, so this has been Big Trouble in Little China. This is our first attempt at trying it this way, watching the movie live. If you listen to this, please let us know if you thought this was entertaining or if it was terrible, and you would rather us just watch the movie and discuss it after the fact. So this has been Michael and for Caleb, and we will see you next time.